You're listening to Lesbian Interrupted, a podcast for sapphics who showed up to the party a little late and have some catching up to do. Around here, we'll talk about the messy, beautiful process of embracing your queer identity after years of trying to be someone you're not. Maybe you spent your 20s dating people who never quite fit. Maybe you're still figuring out where you land under the rainbow. This show is about the moment you figure it out and then figuring out what comes after. We'll dive deep into queer culture, history, and all the things we missed while we were busy pretending to be straight. From dating women for the first time, to unlearning comp het, to finding queer joy in your own way, this is where we build something real without shame, without apology, and definitely without straight cis men. Because the truth is, you're not late, queen. You're just in the right place now. Let's get into it. Welcome back for another episode of the Lesbian Interrupted Podcast. I have no excuse for why I'm just now posting. I really thought I was going to be on top of my shit with recording stuff in advance. And I don't know, I guess everything, my hobbies and stuff have just kind of gotten in the way. So I don't have any excuse. I don't have any real excuse. But thank you for tuning in. And, I did take a poll on Instagram, last week, and I was like, hey, what do you guys want to hear? I gave you guys three options, and the topic of this podcast episode is the one that had the most votes. So we are going to talk today about signs. Signs that I should have realized that I was gay that I did not pick up on. I want to preface this episode by saying that I don't find any of this stuff embarrassing. I think that everyone's coming out story is so unique and beautiful and special and sometimes traumatic in its own way. And I by no means wish that none of this had ever happened to me. I think that looking back, it's kind of funny to me, but I don't want to speak for everybody because some people have gone through some shit that it's really not funny and they wish they would have figured out that they were gay sooner because they may not have experienced what they did. So my signs, thankfully, they're mostly funny, if not a little bit like, oh girl, you didn't pick up on that, damn. So I just wanted to share them, and I hope you get a laugh out of it. And I'm sure that this is going to be relatable to plenty of people. So if you're my friend and you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, I clocked that about 15 years ago, fuck you, shut up, first of all. Be quiet. But anyway, so let's get into it. I don't know how many I'm going to have. I've got like a list written down in front of me, but I might think of more as I'm talking. So anyways, here are some signs that I should have known sooner that I was gay, but I didn't pick up on them. The first one, when I dated men, I always picked boyfriends kind of like based on logistics and not feelings. So I would choose dudes that like made sense. Like, oh, he likes you, or he's got a decent job, or he listens to good music. Or your grandma would approve. I would make a lot of pros and cons lists. And never once did I question myself or make myself feel like, okay, this is why he's right for me. It was always like, this is why he fits into other parts of my life that have to do with other people. I was not bothered with chemistry. I was not like, what fucking chemistry? I like, if he checked a box, like that was supposed to be enough in my book. I thought that was normal for everybody. And it's not. It's really not at all. Found that out the hard way. It's really not. The second one was, and I know this goes for a lot of lesbians and a lot of gay girls, all of my celebrity crushes on men were just guys who had very feminine features and who looked like women. So exclusively long hair, clean cut, very delicate features, pretty boys. Maybe they wore eyeliner. I remember my first big crush was Leo DiCaprio in Titanic. And to this day, I mean, I don't think he looks like that now, but bro looked very feminine. As a young chap, okay, bro looked very feminine. I always like defended myself as saying that I had like this refined taste in men, but really I was just attracted to the most androgynous dudes because that was as close as I thought I was going to get to being fully attracted to somebody. Not to mention, there were a lot of gay dudes that I had crushes on that I tried to tell myself were straight, but they were, I was their beard. So I should have known that. I should have known, but I didn't. Okay. Everyone goes down the pipeline, and that was my turn. Third, I definitely think that to an extent, I romanticized some of my female relationships. And this is not going to be a surprise to anybody who knows, like, what homoerotic friendships are like. But I always thought that everybody felt as intensely as I did about their friends. I always thought that everyone was planning to live by their best friends or live with their best friends when they were 9 years old. Like, very much, I wouldn't say confused. I just had a very intense love for my female friends. And I didn't feel that way about my male friends. I wouldn't say, you know, I never fell in love with any of my girlfriends. I never had feelings for any of my girlfriends at all. This is like, you know, elementary, middle, high school, college. I can honestly say that was never the case. And, I never had like a Chapel Roan, kaleidoscope moment, you know, if you know, you know. But I definitely, I mean, I was always being accused of being a lesbian when I was in high school. Like, everyone was like, oh, well, you and your best friend are just so close. And I'm like, I didn't know there was any other way to be. That's your best friend. Like, of course we hold hands. Of course we sit on each other's laps. Like, you know, I thought that was normal. And I still think it's normal. Like, I still think it's normal to be very close with your friends. I'm not that type of person. I know there's like a lot of queer people who think it's like totally normal to make out with your friends on a daily basis. I'm sorry, but like, that is not how I operate. I don't think it's normal to like make out and have sex with your friends on a regular basis. So if that's you, we're not the same type of gay. But anyways, yeah, I definitely just romanticized female friendships to a crazy extent. And I would be very upset, like, when my best friend had another best friend. And I'm like, oh my God, she likes her more than me. And I'm not saying that every girl who has this experience is like a fucking lesbian who didn't figure it out like me. But like, that's just my experience. I don't know what number this is because I'm not keeping track. So I'm going to have to count this later. The idea of a man seeing me naked disgusted me. Like, disgusted me, but I could never explain why. It made my skin crawl, and I always felt really cold and kind of shaky, I guess. I first started having sex when I was 18, actually, and I just remember that first time, I was really terrified. I was really, really scared, obviously. No. It happens. Most people are very nervous in general. Most people are nervous before their first time, but even more so than I was nervous, I was just grossed out. I was like, are we sure we can't do this with clothes on? There has got to be another way. Like, I really felt so skin crawly and just violated and gross. Even in situations where it was completely consensual, I still just didn't like it. I felt really exposed. I felt like I was performing vulnerability instead of actually being vulnerable. So, I never wanted the lights on. And it wasn't because I felt insecure about my body. It just felt like I didn't want to be perceived by a man, not to sound pretentious, but I didn't want to be perceived by a man in that context. It felt just like fundamentally uncomfortable in a way that I could not articulate. And it never crossed my mind until later in life. The first time that I was ever naked in front of a woman that, like, you know, wasn't a friend, you know, girls like change in front of each other all the time, whatever. It wasn't until I had like my first sexual experience with another woman that I was like, I don't feel self-conscious about this. I don't feel scared. I feel like I want her to see what I look like and I want to see what she looks like. Whereas with men, I was like, I don't want to look at anything. It's very aggressive. You know what I mean? It's very aggressive. You know what I mean? Don't make me say it. I'm not going to say it. Don't make me say it. I felt like I would, before I'd ever been physical with a woman, I always thought like, oh my God, I would be 10 times more self-conscious with a woman because I'd be comparing myself, like my body to her body. And like, that just was not the case. And that's never been the case. And yeah, I felt way more comfortable, and it just made more sense to me in a way that being naked in front of a dude just didn't. So anyways, I think we're on number 5. So this one kind of goes hand in hand with like romanticizing female friendships. But I remember in high school when I would get accused of being gay, and this was like, you know, this is when it wasn't totally cool to, I mean, it's still not considered cool to be gay. Like, depending on what part of the world you're in, you can very well get hurt or lose your life. So I don't want to act like it's, you know, those are things of the past, because we still don't live in a very friendly world. However, when I went to high school, in a very countryfied rural area, and rural, I can't ever say that word. I did not want to be considered gay. I considered it something that would get me like ostracized, otherized. Like, I already had trouble fitting in as it was, because like I grew up in such a predominantly white like country area, and I am biracial, and I look different, and my hair looked different, and my whole family dynamic was different than everybody else's. That was just one more thing that I was like, no, I'm not gay on top of all of this. I'm not gay on top of all of this too. So I would get really mad when people would accuse me, or accuse me and like a best friend of dating. I would be like so defensive, so offended, like, we're just friends. Oh my God, why does everybody say that? And then I would think about it for days afterward and feel weird about like why it bothered me so much. And that, I mean, maybe that wasn't like a sign, because, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who have had that same kind of experience, and they've been mad. And your feelings are valid, especially when you're a kid and you don't know what gay really even means, and you don't live in a very LGBTQ friendly place. Of course I was mad. Of course I was mad that someone was trying to other me and push me aside or label me as something that like I didn't identify as. However, knowing me now, the way that I got irrationally angry about that was definitely a sign. That was definitely a sign that 16-year-old Brooke should have looked into. But again, I was a child. What do you want me to do? Okay. Nothing. I couldn't do anything. I was a child. Anyway, moving on. I think we're on number 6. So, I definitely had a type when I would date men. I would date, unavailable. Emotionally unavailable. I never, you know, I was never one of those girls that was like, oh, he has a girlfriend, like, I want that. Not that type of unavailable. I mean, like, emotionally unavailable. Like, if someone liked me back and was available, all of a sudden I'd be like, no, that's an ick. The appeal vanished. I liked the idea of dating men so that I didn't have to confront the alternative, which was teaching myself to date an entirely different gender, my own gender. And yeah, I remember being in high school, and even early in college, and being like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just love to nitpick guys. I love to nitpick all the things that I don't like about a dude who likes me. Like, down to the way that a guy would chew his food or walk with a backpack, like, I was ready to scalp a man. Like, I have really always been that way. And it was worse when they liked me, because I don't know, something in me felt like, it was like, oh my God, he's the predator and he thinks I'm the prey and he wants to attack me. And then my brain would just go crazy. If someone seemed unavailable and they weren't into me, or they weren't as into me as I was into them, your brain does the limerence thing. It does the romanticizing thing. And so I'm not nitpicking all of their flaws. I would be like, la, 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 la. It's like it's like that guy in that movie, or that guy in that book, or whatever, or that cartoon that I loved, Danny Phantom, whatever, when I was a kid. He's like that. Like, I would very much, if it didn't exist, I was into it. His manners, if he had, like, you know, I just, if he didn't have manners, yes. Like, at anything, if he wasn't respectful, yes. If he wasn't nearby and available, yes. If he didn't pay attention to me, yes. It's very much, it was my type. It really was my type. Mentally, it was my type.
Next
one. So I never, ever fantasized about my own actual boyfriend. In any straight relationship I had, I never fantasized. I tried to picture marrying a man. I was engaged once. And I tried to picture it, and I couldn't. I had to consciously force it, and then I would get swept up in the other details, and I couldn't put a face to the person at the altar. Like, I would be more focused on what the wedding would look like and less about who I was marrying. And my brain just wouldn't cooperate. Never fantasized about a man a day in my life. Not a real man. Fictional characters made sense to me because they were written to be perfect and shiny and gentle and like the perfect balance of masculine and feminine. And every dude that I dated wasn't like that. Another reason, I always felt so much relief every single time that I broke up with a guy. I had never been broken up with in my life. And I think that's part of the reason is I always broke up with them first, and I always felt relief. I have never felt that devastation with a man the way that a lot of some of my straight friends have. I'd feel maybe a little sad for hurting them, but mostly I would just feel free. Like I was released from this big obligation, and I would mourn the idea of being in a partnership more than I would the person. And every single time that I became single, immediately my first thought was, okay, I can date women now. And as many people who are in the part of the pipeline where you are bisexual or you think you're bisexual, if you've still kind of centered the idea of getting male attention, it doesn't always work out like that. Like, you're very gung-ho and excited about, now I can fully lean into my, you know, queer identity. And if you're not ready, it shows. And that's not anybody's fault. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It just is what it is. Everyone grows on their own timeline, and everybody figures out stuff in their own time. However, yeah, I would feel a lot of relief when a relationship with a dude would end. For me personally, it should have been a big red flag. And like a big glaring sign of, hello, why do you feel this way every single time? And, you know, a lot of, for any of my straight friends listening to this, if you're feeling like, well, I feel relief every time I break up with a man, it doesn't mean you're a lesbian. It might just mean he's a really shitty dude, and you've just dated really shitty dudes. And that's totally different. I'm not trying to say everybody's a lesbian just because they feel relief every time they leave a man. Because honestly, anytime anyone leaves a relationship where they feel bad and shitty in it, and you feel good afterwards, that's wonderful. So there's nothing wrong with that, and it doesn't mean that you're gay. The next one I wrote down, let's see. I dressed for women's attention, and I felt disappointed when only guys would notice. But when a girl complimented me, I was over the moon. Whole day was made. I'd remember what I was wearing, whatever she said I looked good in. If I was going to see her again, I'd wear that again. Or, you know, if I knew something was her favorite color, I'd wear it again. I definitely didn't feel that way about men. Never wanted to dress for a man's attention. In fact, every straight presenting relationship I've been in, my outfits have gotten policed, and I've been told, you can't wear that because other guys are going to look at you. You can't. And never once have I worn something out of the house and been like, I'm wearing this because I want attention from other men. I want attention from any men. No, I wanted to wear what I wanted to wear because I knew that I looked fucking cute, and I knew that I would catch the eye of anyone with any fashion taste, aka the other girlies. Like, I wasn't trying to attract any men. you know, I still wouldn't even say I was like I was dressing specifically for other women, but I definitely was dressing more for my gaze, which is the female gaze. And, you know, I don't like the idea of like, I don't know. I think the term girl's girl is really corny and like overused, and it's turned into like girl boss energy. But I do feel like I would dress a certain way and be like, oh, like, I'm dressing this way because hopefully the ones who get it. Like, the girls will appreciate the outfit, could give a fuck less if the guys like it or don't like it, whatever. But I really fixated on, like, how other women would view me for a while. And I don't know when that stopped, but it did stop. I feel like probably 24 or 25 it stopped. Because now I'm just like, I'm going to wear what I want. And I'm going to go out of the house looking like a bum most of the time. And the only time I really get dressed up are for dates with my girlfriend. So I'll dress for her gaze only. Thank you. Next up. This one should have been in the beginning. I Googled, am I gay? Multiple times, and I would retake BuzzFeed quizzes at like 2 a.m. Just seeing if maybe there were, you know, some different results. Maybe the answers got skewed. But yeah, I did take the Am I Gay quiz several times. I don't think that one needs any more explanation. I feel like I just spoke for a collective just now. Next, I felt, and this kind of goes again when I said that I hated being naked in front of men. This one goes with that one. Physical intimacy with men really felt like such a performance. I was in my head. I would think about what I was supposed to be doing, what I was supposed to look like, if I looked sexy, if I was doing something correctly. I felt it was very out of body experience. Like I felt like I was watching myself outside of my body. Very, you know, fake enthusiasm, if you will. We were in that lane for, yeah, we were. And it felt like if I didn't act a certain way that, a man would be disappointed with me and then get his ego hurt. And then I would have to patch that up. And that was more emotional work and energy for me. So I just did what I felt like I was supposed to do to make sure that the dude enjoyed himself and felt like I enjoyed myself, even if I wasn't. That right there was probably the biggest sign for me that I just was not fulfilled and something was just really missing. I had a lot of dissociative like moments with men where I would genuinely pretend that they were women, close my eyes and just pretend that I was anywhere but there. And I'm not trying to make this seem like I was being assaulted or anything like that, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying like, I just had a lot of intrusive thoughts in those moments where I was like, God, I wish that this was anybody but him. I wish this was, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a hot celebrity or something. I wish this was Kristen Stewart. I'm only saying Kristen Stewart because my girlfriend and I were talking about her the other day, but I wish this was anybody else. And it wore on me for years. And I remember the first time that I ever like had sex with a girl, I was like, wow, I actually don't care for once what I look like down here. Cause you get me and you see me and you relate to me and you know what it's like to be a girl and you know what it's like to be in your head about things. And you're not even looking at me, watching me perform for you. Thank God. I feel saved. Yeah, so that was very affirming. And then the last one, this isn't like a super strong one to like end the list off with, but it's kind of funny. I remember being obsessed with like queer literature and movies. I hated like reading romance books because they were always a guy and a girl, and I was always really bored. It was always a straight relationship. Very hetero. And I was like, this is fucking boring. And I didn't realize it then, but now older me realizes it's because I couldn't relate. I didn't read these, and I never have. I've never read like straight hetero smutty books. I never will. I know that does it for some people, but for me, reading about a woman yearning for a man or lusting after a man or being horny for a man, it just grossed me out. And I couldn't stick with the plot because all I could think about is like, you're doing all of this for a man? For a man? And that's even saying on top of, you know, the fact that a lot of lesbians don't figure out they're lesbians because they think that they like men because of fictional characters. A lot of the fictional characters weren't even doing it for me. Okay. I don't remember the last time I read a romance novel between two straight people and genuinely enjoyed it. I was obsessed with queer media. And I told myself for years, oh, underrepresented genre. I'm an ally. that ended real quick. I knew way too much about the sapphic subtext in media for someone who thought that they were straight. And then once I was like, oh, I'm bisexual, I was like, oh, well, this checks out. And then when I was like, oh, I'm pan, this checks out, blah, blah, blah. And when I fully identified as a lesbian, the desire to consume anything and everything gay just got more amplified. Like, I have been very into sapphic media since like age 22, 23. Couldn't put a reason on it really, but, yeah, just, I was obsessed. And there's just not enough. I don't think there's enough queer representation anywhere. There's not enough lesbian representation anywhere. And I'm going to have an episode, one day about all of the lesbian movies where the lesbians don't get happy endings, because I still feel like that is an inaccurate representation of queer love and it pisses me off. But don't get me started on that. That's for another episode. Anyways, I don't know how many, let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We had 12 signs I should have picked up on that I was gay that I didn't pick up on until later. 12 signs. One for every single one of the zodiacs. Thank you guys for listening. I hope that this episode was entertaining for someone who's just sitting here talking to herself into a mini mic. And my hope is that very soon I will have some of my gay friends on this show to talk shit with me. Bear with me. I'm trying to make this as interesting and as funny as possible and relatable as possible. Anyways, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to follow the podcast on whatever streaming platform you are using to listen right now, and follow the podcast on Instagram at Lesbian Interrupted Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you guys later.